Welcome to another edition of Wyoming Stories. I'm Micah Schweitzer. This podcast brings you stories about Wyomingites in their own words. Now, Wyoming is one of the most photographed states in the country for its abundant wildlife and breathtaking vistas. So this month we'll hear three stories from people so drawn to Wyoming they packed up and moved here. We'll start with BJ and Marius Hanford. BJ and Marius danced on Broadway in New York City for many years before moving west, and they now live in the Buffalo Valley on the border of Grand Teton National Park. BJ shares her journey from Broadway to Buffalo Valley.
I was born in Coventry, Connecticut, actually East Hartford, Connecticut. And I'm a post-war baby, so I was born after my dad came home from the war. And when I was about a year and a half, we moved to Massachusetts. And by the time I was three, my mom had me in a dance class, a toddler's dance class. And I danced all through my younger years, and eventually ended up going to Emerson College on a dance and theater scholarship. But at the time was performing with the Boston Ballet Company and a modern company. And I went to New York one weekend just as with a friend. We stayed overnight at somebody's house, and there was an audition. There was a trade paper that's put out every week in New York. It's called Backstage. And they were looking for dancers for the Broadway show MAME. And it's basically a ballet show. I knew that. And I was fresh out of the ballet company, and I went to the audition and got the job. So that's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for a dancer. So you leave everything. I left school, I left the companies, and I went into rehearsal, and the rest is history. I just danced my entire life. I was very lucky. I was in the right place at the right time. Yeah. I can sing, so yeah. And I knew I could. So, and you need to be able to sing and act as well for Broadway. So that led to 22 years in New York City, where we bought a brownstone, a slum of a brownstone in Brooklyn, which is now, of course, the place to live.
Yuppie City.
Restored that, sold that. When you get into your 40s, you have to make a decision about the rest of your life, because you're not as desirable as you used to be. Your body doesn't work the way it used to work. And so we came out to Jackson. We drove through Jackson, Wyoming, to go to a family reunion in Blackfoot, Idaho. And I saw, of course, the Tetons, like everybody, and Jenny Lake, and splashed that beautiful lake water on my face that day and said, when we're ready to leave New York, this is where I want to live.
That was Buffalo Valley resident BJ Hanford speaking with her husband, Marius. Next, we'll hear from Buffalo residents David Romvet and Margot Brown. David moved to Wyoming as a poet, but his profession made it hard for him to fit in on the ranch. David and his wife share the story of how Margot's stepfather took David under his wing and helped him earn respect from the other ranching relatives.
My own childhood was not a happy one with a father who was not really equipped to be a very good father. And Margot is told how funny it is that her stepfather, Simon, was in some ways maybe a little difficult guy too for Margot and her brother, Mike. But when I came along as a young adult moving here, he was a fantastic father. He took me under his wing and he took me kind of into ranching. Now, it's also important to know that I came here as a poet, not exactly a sort of central economic function in Wyoming life, yes.
And not only a poet, but a vegetarian poet.
Oh, yes, a vegetarian poet.
That's even worse.
Oh, and there was another, there was worse than that. There was the vegetarian communist poet.
Oh, yeah.
Coming to Wyoming. And so I was held, there was a little suspicion about my presence in the life of this young woman, Margot Brown. But Simon took me kind of into working with him. And so I became, because I was younger and could spend a lot more time scrambling and climbing, did windmill maintenance. When I first came here, the 4 Mile Ranch had 19 working windmills to bring water to the surface for stock, right? Watering cows or sheep. Sheep was just kind of at the tail end when I came here, and it was more cattle. But I simply spent a lot of time up on windmill towers, 30 to 50 feet in the air, with a belt, like a bosun's kind of chair in sailing, hanging off the back of this windmill, trying to uncrank things with one hand and push on something else, and covered with grease. And the platforms were always greasy from a lot of windmills throw oil. They're not really built with great gaskets in some of the joint parts, so oil gets thrown and it's a mess. Worked with him a lot, and he came to feel really strongly, I think, that he might be a poet and a communist and a vegetarian, but he can work.
He really respected you.
That to be a really big part of life here. I remember feeling as though it was kind of the old joke about, well, you may be a poet, but if you can fix fence, you're okay. It's fine. And people didn't care. And that seems to me a central part of one of the most positive aspects of Wyoming life, which is a sense of live and let live that I understand to be really important in our history. And if we want to get along in small communities where you know everyone and you may not necessarily agree with your neighbor on social or political issues, but you're going to be in close contact all the time. And so suddenly it was like work was a bond.
That was poet David Romvet and his wife Margot Brown. And finally, we'll hear from Eric Bartle and his girlfriend Sarah Condelius. They moved from Portland, Oregon to Turpin Meadow Ranch, which is located at the end of the Buffalo Valley Road on the edge of the Teton Wilderness. The couple says sharing life together on the ranch has added more romance to their relationship.
Eric's truck was overheating, so I have a Subaru Impreza. And we were moving to Wyoming, so I put,
In February,
so I bought new tires. For the car.
We were stuck in a blizzard in Portland, Oregon.
Yeah,
yes, they do have blizzards in Portland, Oregon once a decade, and it happened to be
The weekend we were leaving. And
so.
Portland doesn't have the infrastructure for snow melting and removal, so we got trapped in Oregon, and then we had a small window, and then we got here. We packed up the car real quick because the major highway that we needed to take opened because it was icy. We made it here, and we were supposed to be catering a wedding the next night, and our shopping wasn't done. So the day of the wedding, we do our shopping, but then they closed the road because of a blizzard. They closed it at Moose, so we couldn't actually get from Jackson up the Buffalo Valley Road. But then we could, by some miracle, like, oh, get behind the snowplow for the school buses. So
at 1:30 in the afternoon. And
while we were cooking at 12:50. And we got on the convoy. We got out up here. You couldn't see anything. I mean, it was so blizzardy, and the snow was at least 4 feet deep. And then we did pull off the wedding. It was fine. But then it didn't stop snowing for like a month.
Yeah.
And I mean, for those first 10 days, it was like a foot of snow a night. There was just so much snow. And then it can take out your phone line. It takes your power. And because we're on a well, and I grew up on a well, so as soon as the power goes out, I just start filling things with fresh water because you don't have a pump anymore. And so it gets real interesting real quick, especially when you don't have the internet, but that doesn't matter because your computer would be off. But when you don't have water and you don't have a phone, all of a sudden you really realize where you're at. I think it's part of the romance for us to be out here. Like, okay, how much can we get done with nothing? And less, not convenience, but less dependence, I think. And I think that's one of the reasons why we came out here, is to experience that and, you know.
Yeah, it makes it a challenge. And I think, yeah, I kind of enjoy it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it switches things up.
That was Eric Bartle and Sarah Condelius. And that's it for this edition of Wyoming Stories. We'll have a new podcast on the first Monday of next month. In the meantime, you can find more Wyoming Stories online at wyomingpublicmedia.org. The pieces you heard today were produced by Rebecca Huntington. Bianca Coca produced the podcast. Anna Rader is our web editor. Jeff Troxel composed the theme music. And I'm Micah Schweitzer. Wyoming Stories is a production of Wyoming Public Media.